coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lasseter, and Corey Labounty.
Good morning. Welcome to the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha, coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. We want to thank our listeners on Radio Alabama 98.3 Fox FM. And as always, we're very happy to join you 52 weeks out of the year here on the Prep Sports Report. I'm Corey Labounty, sitting in for the big guy, Rick Cleveland, who's on assignment this morning. Coach Mark Lasseter is also on assignment. So I made a phone call, got on the bat phone, and called my partner with the MCPSS Television Network, Al Whedon, joining us this Saturday morning. Good morning, Al.
Good morning, Corley Bounty. The elements of the world. That's what I'm talking about, Dalton. That's what I'm talking about.
He
That's
starts
how you kick
it
the
right.
show off, baby.
Yeah,
That's how you
kick starts,
the show off.
Starts it right. Starts it right. Dalton Orwig running the board for us this morning, and Leanne taking your phone calls at 251-343-0106. That's how you can get in touch with this show. And we're 1 week away from starting high school fall athletics. And, of course, a lot of people's focus has been on high school football, but like we talked about last week, when you start having cross country and swimming and diving and volleyball, we love to include all our sports here in the Prep Sports Report. So want to wish the best for all the competitors and student athletes and coaches and officials who will be in uncharted territories this season here in dealing with this pandemic.
Corey, speaking of officials, you are an official yourself. Some people may not know that. You don't officiate football, but you officiate basketball. What are some of your thoughts about that?
I think it's a situation to where it's a game changer for the officials also. There are and is a shortage of officials across the board, whether that's volleyball, whether that's football. And because of it, I mean, if you want to become an official, you can always call or reach out to me on Twitter at C.A. Labounty, at C.A. Labounty, and I can give you more information on how to become an official. And we will do that next week as well, because there's a dire need for officials. Yep. And I think because of the pandemic, Mark Jones has done a great job. The normal whistles that you see hanging around the official's neck to where they'll take it in and out of their mouth, you won't be seeing that. You'll see the electronic Fox 40 whistle, which is something new, and it's going to be different for the officials, but they have had to take care and have precautions as well.
Just as if they've talked about with football season coming up, not to take away from the other sports, but, you know, it's on the forefront about more wiping down of the balls, wiping down the equipment, timeouts even extended in high school football. An extra minute will be put on, so timeouts will be 2 minutes now during play. So things are definitely having a trickle-down effect from this COVID-19.
One of the things that has been a hot topic as well has been, if I want to attend a game, how can I attend a game in regards to how many people will be allowed in the stadiums?
Correct.
And that's something that's been thought about and talked about not only here in high school football, but on the collegiate level also. And when you start talking about here in the Mobile-Baldwin County area, Mobile County has not officially said how they're going to handle capacities at different stadiums, but we do know that four high schools do play football at Ladd Stadium, holds 40,000 people, so there won't be a problem in regards to the seating.
Shouldn't be at all. Saw a piece that Randy Patrick did last night with Vic Knight. I think he's going to be on the show later on. He can elaborate more about it. But Ladd Stadium, you know, over 40,000 seat capacity, so it shouldn't be a problem. The school system, Mobile County Public Schools, held graduation there this past spring, if you weren't aware of it, and people had plenty of room to social distance. I think the issue comes up for some of the, if you want to call them, the local stadiums, the county stadiums that the schools have, like Baker, MGM, Theodore, Bryant, stadiums like that. They don't have that large capacity, so they're looking at reduced numbers, but at what percentage? And, you know, of course, you and I both do the ball games for the school system, but we don't have that information. We're waiting to find out. And hopefully, Corey, if everything goes well for us, you know, we'll have two seats to do the ball game ourselves. But as far as this percentage, a lot of people are concerned about that. I think Baldwin County came out yesterday saying 50% for them, and the parochial school system, McGill-Tulin, over at the Lip, they're going to do 25%. So, and I saw last night that would leave about 800 seats total, which left about 250 for visitors and the rest for the band and people attending the game. So keep that around, the band, and so looks like McGill-Tulin's going to have the band at their football game.
Well, you know, if you're not comfortable with watching it live, if you're not comfortable with coming out and you're worried about the COVID virus, there's going to be multiple ways to watch high school football. Now, I'm going to plug the first opportunity for you and I broadcasting on the MCPSS TV.
Yeah.
We will open up with Blount and Vigor.
That's correct.
And that's a way to where you can watch that game if you're scared about coming out and attending it live, you and I. There are multiple ways where you can stream the Blount Vigor game or any Mobile County Public School System game of the week.
Various ways. Let's start with the most technologically advanced way. If you have a Roku device, there is a Roku channel for Mobile County Public Schools. Just like it, put it in there. You can also follow the game on Facebook, just like MCPSS TV Network. The game will also be available on YouTube Live as well. If you have Comcast, it's channel 15. If you have MediaCom, it is channel 81. And I have the box for MediaCom, so mine is 83. But if you don't have the box, it's 81. And if you have ATT UVerse, it's channel 99. Now, on UVerse, it's kind of like on demand. You'll click 99 and another screen will come up and you're like, what is this? And you just click education and you click there, you'll go see the game. And Corey, you know, I'm a big believer in it's enough to go around for everyone. So if you're not watching us, you can also watch high school football on UTV 44. Our buddies Jim Cox and Dan Brennan, they do high school games as well. So there are various ways that you can take it in, and even some high schools will have a network. Like I know Vigor has the Wolfpack Network and Baker has BH1 TV. So you can watch the student broadcast through that school's website or whatever link they provide. So it's various ways if you feel uncomfortable for coming out to the game. I totally understand. I know you and I have our own concerns as well that we're going to address, but we want to at least provide the opportunity for you to enjoy the games. If you're not able to come out, if you're unsure, if you feel unsafe, don't want you to put you or someone else in jeopardy. But you can also take advantage of watching it through all this magical technology. Who would have thought 30 years ago, Corey, you could watch a football game on your phone through a social media site?
Unbelievable that you're able to do that. And the NFHS, National Federation of High School, they have given all the schools two cameras to where if you're not at a game that's on MCPSS TV or you're not
right,
UTV 44 game of the week, you'll have an opportunity to, if that school sets up those two cameras, to watch it through the National Federation High School. You click on that, and a donation or the proceeds that you click on to watch that game, it is a paid subscription service, but those proceeds go toward offsetting the cost of the ticket revenue that was lost. And there's going to be a lot of lost ticket revenue. And as we talked with Executive Director Steve Savarese a couple of weeks ago, you know, this is the funding source of a lot of these high schools. And we've already had four or five counties to opt out of high school football this season due to the high COVID numbers, and I'm quite sure we've seen some cancellations. James Clemens and Murphy, Saraland just had to cancel their week zero game.
Right.
I think they were going to play Hewitt Trustful, so you're starting to see a lot of cancellations. But as a whole, I think that everyone's done a great job of providing the safety, staying within the AHSAA guidelines, wiping equipment down, wearing the mask.
Right.
And week zero here for the entire state of Alabama is going to be the guinea pig week. And
yeah, test cases,
whether you're traveling and how you want to handle travel, how you're going to deal with your team in regards to keeping that 10-yard line, social distancing, will you have a get-back coach? Those will all be dynamics that will be different moving forward in high school football. But I just know it's here. And there was a fear that we weren't going to get to this point.
That's correct. That's correct. How we like to say it's the next to Christmas, it's the most anticipated day you and I look forward to. Well, coming up this Friday, it's going to be really different opening up that Christmas present this year, Corey.
It really is. But, you know, Lord willing, we'll get an opportunity to talk about the games that we witnessed Thursday at Ladd Stadium. LaFleur and Williamson kicked this thing off, and we'll be giving you all the scores throughout the state next week here on the Prep Sports Report. Don't go anywhere. Coming up, we'll have Ben Thomas from AL.com to get his take on how everything's going in the state of high school sports.
The CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. I'm Corey LeBounty, joined this morning by my main man, Al Whedon. Dalton Orwig is running the board, and Leanne taking your phone calls at 251-343-0106 here on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication line. And it's always a pleasure to talk to my main man, Ben Thomas from AL.com. Does a tremendous job covering high school athletics 52 weeks out of the year for AL.com. And Ben, didn't get you any of Poison music this morning, but good morning, brother.
I know you guys stuck on that Rick Cleveland yacht rock, but that's all right.
Hey, Rick Cleveland, I'd be getting a phone call immediately as soon as I hang
stop
up
hating,
on
hating.
That. So I just have to try to stay within the guidelines just a little bit, brother Ben, just a little bit, man. How's
that's
everything
all right.
going?
Although you almost put me back to sleep with it, but that's okay. I'm awake. I'm good to go. What's up with Al Whedon next
hey,
to
don't
you
worry,
there?
Ben. I am promoting Steely Dan for the rest of the show. I'm telling Dalton to pull the CDs out. Steely Dan the rest of the show, baby.
Steely Dan, did he wrestle Stone Cold? I don't know who that is.
See you and I, we have that WWE mentality, brother Ben. So I sometimes, until Rick Cleveland converted me over, I had no clue who Steely Dan was either. So don't feel
you
bad.
You too, guys.
Don't feel
I'm
bad.
I'm doing good, Ben. Good to hear from you, as I refer to you as the Adam Schefter of the Gulf Coast.
I got you.
Any breaking news, Ben Thomas gives it to us. And brother Ben, there was the first high school football game, took place in Utah on Thursday night, and it was a pretty good game, 24-20, in this pandemic era. So I know a lot of people were tuned in to the National Federation of High School website to see that game. But we're going to have our own high school football here in Mobile Baldwin County and across the state of Alabama starting this Thursday. And you know, we've talked for these last 4 or 5 months as to where we would get to this point or not.
Yeah, I think we're still talking about that to some degree, but it's closer than ever now, and I think we're going to get there. I mean, I think Utah playing, even though that's nowhere near us, certainly gives you the feeling it can be done, and I think these teams are ready to go. It's kind of a light schedule anyway in week one, as it is most years, but we're going to get there, I think. I mean, I think there's a possibility. I think on every schedule I run, every games to watch I run, there'll be a line that says these games more than any other year subject to change. We could see a game change on Wednesday or Thursday, just if there's a positive case or so. But it looks like we're going to get there, and I know these kids are excited. You know, they've been, for them, they've been wondering the same thing: are we going to get to play? And so I know they're gonna be glad to get out there and play next week.
And also, I mean, Thursday volleyball starts, and that's something to where when you look here locally, there's a lot of interest because Ann Schilling has won 18 consecutive state championships at Bayside Academy, and with the reclassification Bayside going up to 5A, that's something that's going to be fun to watch in the seating capacity, not only in the football stadiums, but in the gymnasiums also.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, that seating capacity thing is interesting to me because, a lot of people statewide, and it's the same really for whatever sport, but football is the one that gains a lot of attention. Volleyball being inside may be even more important for social distancing purposes, but, Baldwin County has come out and said 50%, which is higher than most people are going as far as how many people of capacity can be in the stadium. So I think that'll be tested Thursday night when Spanish Fork goes to Fairhope, and really one of the better games in our area this first week. So it's going to be. I'm intrigued. I'm going to hopefully get to go to that game. I don't know how many I'll get to go to this year with the role that I have now at AL.com, but I'm interested to see what the spacing looks like, what the atmosphere feels like in this pandemic, because we have less people and they're spaced out, and I just don't know. I'm intrigued to see what that feels like.
Well, Ben, speaking of your new role you have at AL.com, I know you rely on a lot of local guys to help you out when football season starts. Have you heard anything specifically as far as how press will be handled? Will you be allowed to be on the sidelines? Can you go in the press box? Are there any kind of stipulations going on for the season coming up?
Yeah, I think there will be. I actually was talking to Ben Blackman last night at Spanish Ford, and he said he didn't think Baldwin County had considered that too much. I think it could be different wherever you go, Al. I think, you know, I've been done a lot of different things in the past. I've covered games from the sideline. I've tried to squeeze into the press box when I can. The last couple of years I've been walking the sidelines, but, you know, that's probably not something that I want you to do. I mean, because I walk up and down in the middle of the team trying to figure out where the ball is, you know. So
right.
It's just something I've told our guys that, look, you're just going to have to be flexible. If you got to sit in the stands, you got to sit in the stands. If you got to stand in the end zone, you have to do that. I mean, I think, you know, they'll let media in. You just got to be smart like everybody else. You know, I have heard that Vic Knight at Lab People Stadium has told me they are not going to let people in the press box other than, you know, PA and I guess TV if there's maybe got to be TV, but that main press box is not going to be open. You know, guys know on Thursday night when there's games, a lot of other coaches and stuff will come up there and sit in the press box and watch the game, but they do not want people going up there and you know, not social distancing up there. So there's definitely going to be some restrictions, and like everything else, it's going to be up to each individual site and school and county to decide what those restrictions are.
Yeah, you're right about that, Corey. Now, we know that firsthand by being in the press box, especially at LAD, and some of the other coaches will come in the main press box area and kind of, if you want to call it, scout a team that they're going to play in the future. And our concern was, you know, even a couple doors down from us, you'll have like the offensive, defensive coaching staffs, and they're kind of sitting huddled up and they're calling plays and cheering and shouting. So that's going to have quite an effect, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to be out there. They may
right.
be in the stands. I don't know how they're going to spread those out. But you got to. It's all these details that you never really had to think about before. Now you got to think about. And the coach, Ben Blackman, was telling me last night that there's just so many details that, you know, we didn't dwell with last year that now we're going to have to, you know, concern ourselves with just to make sure everybody stays healthy and is able to play for as long as we can.
Yeah, I agree with you. We're talking with Ben Thomas from AL.com. A big announcement late last night, St. Paul's and Spanish Fork to play on ESPN on week two. So you know that media has to be accommodated in that situation.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of media there. How about that? That was, Ben just kind of slipped that one in on me when I was talking to him about the Fairhope game. I said, you know anything else? He said, well, we're going to play on ESPN. I'm like, well, that's nice. We don't know what exactly which one of the ESPNs it's going to be. Steve Mask had a funny comment. He said he told his guys, I don't care if it's ESPN, ESPN News, or ESPN 8+, it's still ESPN.
Exactly. The old
I imagine it'll be on one of the major networks because there's not a whole lot of other football going on. And, you know, they like to do games with prospects in them. That game certainly has prospects over on of course, you got, for Spanish Fork, you got the Oregon linebacker commit, Christian Burkhalter, and Micah Gaffney, a defensive back who's committed to Virginia. And then for St. Paul's, you got a lot of guys over there. Javonte Grace Billups, Ivan Schultz is going to Troy. And of course, some of the bigger recruits are Lucas Taylor, the offensive lineman, and Jalen Sultan, a running back that's transferred in from Mississippi. So that's why, you know, ESPN picks those games mainly depending on prospects, even though that's as we know from the last decade, that's been a great rivalry game in coastal Alabama. So it should be fun to watch that one.
Ben, we got about a minute and a half left with you in this segment. You just mentioned the prospects and going down. I think Riley Leonard is one of the most intriguing prospects. Really, we know his skills as a basketball player, but being a dual threat athlete is one I'm really looking forward to watching against Spanish Fork in week one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's kind of he was not that highly rated, but he was such he had such a you know Fairhope just they had a lot of young people around him last year, and I think they were 6-5, lost in the first round of the playoffs. He's got much more experience around him this year. I think Fairhope is one of the reasons I hope we play on this year, because I think they've got a very good team, probably Tim Carter's best roster, and really the two highest rated quarterbacks in the state right now are in our area, Riley Leonard at Fairhope and Trent Battle, who's going to TCU. He's the Daphne quarterback, so, and they play early in the season, so I hope we get to that game at least so we can see those two match up.
I agree with you, Ben. Well, I just want to thank you for your time. I know it's a little bit wet here in Mobile, Alabama, so maybe you'll be able to kind of chase the tennis ball a little later on. But just thank you so much for being gracious with your time, as always.
Yeah, I had to cancel my 9 o'clock appointment, Corey. Oh. But somebody asked me maybe I could play some pickleball later. I've never played that before, so maybe I can get a little exercise somehow. I guarantee you one thing, I won't be listening to any Steely Dan when I'm doing it.
Oh, stop hating, Ben.
I love it. Ben Thomas from AL.com joining us this morning on the Prep Sports Report. Thanks, Ben. Have a great week.
All right, y'all. Thanks for having me. Talk to you later.
The Prep Sports Report is brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Rick Cleveland on assignment this morning, along with Mark Lassiter, as they are preparing for the high school football season that is upon us this coming Thursday. We have high school football action at Ladd Peoples Stadium as the LaFleur Rattlers take on the Williamson Lions at Ladd Peoples Stadium. So that's a game that always draws a pretty decent crowd. And because we're going to have Vic Knight on the next segment, he'll be able to give us a breakdown on how Ladd Peoples Stadium is handling attendance, because after the security checkpoints last year through all the high school football, volleyball, basketball venues, it kind of delayed, kind of slowed up things a little bit the first couple of weeks. So with this new COVID policy in place, I'm quite sure the numbers, as far as from a fan standpoint, won't be to the same capacity as it was. But we'll get Vic Knight to speak on that also. COVID has really, you know, played and wreaked havoc with many high school teams already. And one that really hit close to home this week was Vestavia Hills' Buddy Anderson. He's the all-time winningest coach here in the state of Alabama, and he and his wife both were diagnosed with COVID.
Right.
And because of it, Vestavia Hills had to opt out of their first couple of games, and that's tough. That's a tough situation for him, because this was Buddy Anderson's last season.
Yeah, he's retiring, man.
He's retiring, and you know that's not the way he wanted to start it. But like he mentioned, you know, it's in God's hands, and that's the way that he's going to approach it. And, you know, him being a God-fearing man, being on this show less than a month ago, talking about his excitement that he has, that his kids have, and the precautions that they're taking, just an unfortunate situation for them.
Yeah, and when you look at a situation like that, Corey, not to say anything bad upon him, but having coached 43 years, you know he's a more mature fellow, so he may be more apt to maybe contracting it. Not that he did anything out of the ordinary, it just happened upon him, and it's unfortunate because this was the year, if you want to call it, you know, go out with a bang, you know, this is my last year and want to have everything start off right. But fortunately, according to, I think, Coach Sav and the AHSAA at the press conference they had, I don't believe they won't issue forfeits to the end of the season. So maybe that gives Vestavia Hills an opportunity to maybe make those games up so they won't count against Coach Anderson, because being the all-time winningest coach, you don't want to leave a couple out there on the field you had no control of, you know, get a forfeit. But it is very unfortunate, but that shows you how close to home it can hit. Even right here locally, some teams have been quarantined as well. So right now, maybe up in air, you don't know, but that week one game with UMS Wright coming up this week, they go back to practice Monday, I believe. So that's something to think about right here in our own area.
UMS Wright, St. Luke's, Bayside Academy, all on quarantine throughout these last couple of weeks to make sure and to kind of curve the pandemic crisis that was going on there, and I call it a crisis globally. It is a crisis, but it's a situation to where the administrations of all these schools have really done an outstanding job of being transparent and letting all the parents know and doing a great job to make sure that there's tracking going on, to where if you can get it down to where or a specific group of players, right, or a person within a specific group, it helps to make sure that there are no other cases that continue to spread and shut an entire team down with 30 or 40 cases. And it depends on how many players you have on your roster.
Yeah, we were talking with Vigor's coach, Coach McKenzie, yesterday, kind of getting the idea of what's coming up this week with their game against Blount. And fortunately, as he said, everyone's healthy. We're taking all the precautions. We're doing everything we can to keep the kids safe, keep our coaches safe as well. He even talked about how, you know, a certain amount of a group of them will go into the weight room, and then the other group will be outside, and then they'll kind of clean things down and swap it out. So you have to take those precautions. You have to be safe, not too quick about things. That's why I had asked that question of Ben about press, because, you know, you and I being pressed, but we know in the press box there are coaches, there's the PA guy doing stuff, you know, he's got to shout out the what's that, the potluck draw, you know, you got to shout out, make sure you go get the, even think about concessions, Corey. I think some schools may have to go to prepackaged concessions, or you may want to leave the house and say, let's just go ahead and eat dinner before we go to the game, but you may have a little one who wants that popcorn or who wants those chips. So, you know, you got to put a lot of things in perspective. This week one is really a litmus test, especially Thursday at last. I'm looking forward to talking to Vic Knight to see what things they're doing differently to kind of prepare for, if everything goes well, the next game and the next week and the next game.
And one of the things that we're tremendously blessed with here along the Baldwin County Mobile area is great prospects like Ben Thomas talked about. When you, any given Thursday or Friday night, you start to step out into the stadium, you have a chance to see those next shining stars participate. And Ben mentioned Riley Leonard and Trent Battle, two quarterbacks that are really two of the top 10 quarterbacks in the state of Alabama, being right here along the coast. But you have Deontay Lawson from Mobile Christian, who has already verbally committed to Alabama, says that he wants to enroll early in January. Lee Hunter, who we'll get a chance to see next Friday night, has verbally committed to Auburn. He says he wants to be an early enrollee to Auburn in January also. Those Edwin White at UMS Wright has committed to the University of Tennessee. So you just start talking about those Power Five guys, not to mention the numerous amounts. Burkhalter at Spanish Fort is another one from Oregon. When they come down here and start picking some of our players out of our backyard all the way from Oregon, you know that the talent pool is great here.
And it will be showcased if everything goes well. As I like to say, I'm a country boy. Lord willing, the creek don't rise. That second week, St. Paul, Spanish Fort, that's a nationally televised game, as it just came down the pipe there. It's being talked about, it showcasing the talent that we have here on the Gulf Coast. It seems like every year we get one of those national games that showcases what great talent we have here. I was watching, I believe on ESPNU or SEC, it was the Alabama championship game against Notre Dame a couple nights ago. I'm sitting there looking at A.J. McCarron and some of the other guys looking like, wow, you know, it seemed as if it was yesterday, and these guys are playing right here in your backyard or park ball or whatever. So the talent that's here right now, you definitely want to see it. You definitely want to get out and encourage it. But on the same token, you got to be safe. You got to think about that and use the outlets that you have, this technology core that we have, social media, and support them. I do want to say that's interesting. You talked about those guys possibly being early enrollees, because right now college is just getting started, and who knows what may be happening in December when it rolls around, January. Can you still early enroll? This is all new. It's unprecedented.
It really is, and I know we've had John Garcia Jr. on here about a month ago as well, and we'll talk to him here coming up in these next couple of weeks about what he's seen after week one and week two of high school football, some of the prospects that he's had an eye on for Sports Illustrated, being the director of recruiting there. You know, some of these guys I saw were one of Ohio State's commitments. He's one of the number one defensive ends in the country, and he decided to opt out of his senior high school season to prepare to be an early enrollee at Ohio State. So when you start having players like that, you wonder, will other players go ahead and decide to do that in high school and to forego it? But not only football this week, volleyball will be different. Ben Thomas mentioned that also about the seating capacity in the gymnasiums.
Yeah.
And that's going to be, at least fans are able to come in and support their volleyball teams. But going back and looking at the top of 7A, Hoover is definitely a team to compete and beat from a 7A volleyball standpoint. But McGill Tulin and the Dirty Dozen, Coach Wood does a great job with her girls, and they have unfinished business. In 6A, Hazel Green, they've been dominant three out of the past four seasons. They've just been at the top. But Hartzell and Spanish Fort also make a lot of noise there in girls volleyball. In 5A, I don't need to say any more than Bayside Academy.
Right.
Ann Schilling and the job that she's done, one of the premier coaches in the country and one of the premier programs in the country, they're going to have an opportunity after winning 18 straight to go ahead and participate in Class 5A volleyball. And Class 4A volleyball, Montgomery Academy is the team at the top of the list. And 3A, St. Luke's, another local program. Rick and I and Coach Lasseter have been talking about locally, if you take the local volleyball teams here, such as St. Luke's and Mobile Christian, Baker, McGill Tulin, Spanish Fort, Bayside Academy, you let all of them play in one pod, and you're going to have maybe three or four of your state champions coming from right here in the Mobile Baldwin County area. And that just goes to show the amount of love and attention that is being given at the grassroots program to continue to be successful in volleyball at that level. So hopefully St. Luke's, the Lady Wildcats, will have an opportunity to go ahead and be state champions again. And you look at 2A, the team to beat Addison, and Donahoe is the team to beat in 1A. But volleyball will be started this week, this Thursday. I think LaFleur is hosting a match. I talked to Coach McCovery, and she's the one that brought it to my attention, and her and Coach Schilling both, that Thursday is the kickoff for volleyball. And normally, what they normally do, Al, is along with these other high schools, you have that squad scrimmage to where you'll get somebody coming in to play you, but now you don't have that opportunity because of the COVID to prepare. So the officials are having to do inner squad. These teams are having to play someone along with themselves, and you get tired of that after a little while. You want to see someone else with a different jersey come in so you can dominate your opponent rather than dominate your own team. Look forward to seeing that this coming week, and I encourage you to go out if you want to do safely. Put your mask on. Go out and support high school volleyball. Go out and support high school football. Coming up next here on the Prep Sports Report, we'll have Vic Knight from Ladd Peebles Stadium. He'll give us a rundown on some of the great games that are scheduled to be played at Ladd Peebles Stadium, as well as some of the policies and procedures that will be in place for you to attend the games as well.
Keep up with PSR every day. Follow Prep Sports Report online at facebook.com/PrepSportsReport1065. Follow on Twitter at twitter.com/PSR_1065. This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Parker Dental and Orthodontics. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. I'm Corey LeBounty, sitting in for the big guy, Rick Cleveland, who's continuing to recover from his left knee replacement surgery. Coach Mark Lasseter is on assignment this morning, trying to get things done for Bayside Academy as the Admirals are looking to start their high school football season as well. Sitting next to me, the birthday guy, Al Whedon. It's a pleasure to have him joining me this morning.
Thank you, man. This makes number 50 for me, Corey. So it's a blessing to be here, man, to actually be at work, to see the sun come up, and thank the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for allowing me to see my 50th. It won't be official until 11:59 tonight. That's when I was born, at 11:59. So I almost made it to the 16th.
I was going to say, you were pushing on the 16th.
Yeah, but I had my mind working, boy. 11:59.
We'll give you all glory to God here celebrating your 50th birthday, sir. Especially everything that's going on in the world, man, as well. But it's a pleasure to have you in on the Prep Sports Report this morning. I want to thank my mom, Sarah Lynn Andrews, for tuning in each and every week and all her support that she gives me. I love you, Mom. And Coach Glenn Vickery, you are my main man. I got that text message from you. Ben Thomas is my main man, but you're my main man when it comes down to talking any sports and just life in general. Doesn't get any better than head coach Glenn Vickery. You're my main man, Coach Vickery, and I appreciate you for tuning in each and every week here on the Prep Sports Report. But now joining us on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Line is Vic Knight from Ladd Peebles Stadium. Vic, good morning, and thanks for jumping on with us.
You bet. How you doing? I can't believe you got Al to be there on his birthday. Oh, you got, that's real power, baby.
Some strong pull, man. Strong pull.
It is. And look, I got him in here at 7:30 in the morning on his birthday,
yes,
too.
Yes, sir.
So that's pretty impressive.
That's hardcore, buddy. That's hardcore. Happy birthday, man. You're the youngest 50-year-old person on this day ever at 11:59.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
There you go. All right.
Vic, a lot of things going on upcoming here at Ladd Peebles Stadium, and you guys did an outstanding job of hosting the high school graduations for the Mobile County Public School System. As really, it was the only venue in the entire city that could handle the amount of people who needed to come in and be a part of that. But now we're flipping mode from May to August, and it's high school football season, and I know there's a great slated schedule of games that hopefully will take place. Let's talk about the one that's going to start on Thursday between LaFleur and Williamson, and what the policy and procedures will be looking like for those fans who decide to come out and watch high school football.
Well, you're right. A lot of changes that have to be made to enable us in our role to maintain, make Ladd as safe as possible for the fans that come. And social distancing is the biggest change for the average fan that comes in the game. And, you know, we're fortunate, the stadium, to have enough seats to properly do this. You mentioned what we did back in May, where we had the high school graduations out here. And, you know, what it requires, and to maintain 6-foot social distancing between people from other households, is to kill 2 out of every 3 seats in the stadium, and to eliminate 5 seats between parties on those rows where you actually have individuals seated. So it brings your capacity down to about 17%. In Ladd's case, that means we can seat about 6,500 people. But it's our role to do that. You know, I think it's really important responsibility to take a look at this thing and to be able to go to people and say, look, if you come to games at Ladd Stadium, we are going to make sure that you are maintaining social distancing. And if we want to have a high school football season beyond week one, everybody needs to take that to heart and understand what's at stake. Because, you know, if people don't do that, if the games start and things happen, we've got teams already in quarantine right now, there's not going to be a high school football season. So, you know, we play a big role in that. There's more high school football games played at Ladd than anywhere else. We've got 17 games this year. And you take a look at that responsibility, and I think we take it very seriously. So that's what we intend to do when fans come out. They'll be socially distanced in the stands. Of course, restrooms, concessions, those types of things change as well. I know you guys were talking earlier about access to the press box. There's not going to be anybody up there. You know, you just can't take the risk of allowing people in, and because of contact tracing, somebody tests positive, and then there's been already somebody in there the next day, because, you know, we have games Thursdays and Fridays. You know, that thing can spread to affect the entire high school football community. So we've got to be extra careful. Coaches will be in the stands, like you talked about, and they're used to doing that at other places. And, you know, one of the luxuries of Ladd has been able to accommodate. Well, we're just not able to do that this year. So a lot of changes, but ultimately for the fans, they know that we're going to do everything possible to make sure that we not only follow the governor's order, but also maintain safety from a standpoint of being able to have an entire high school football season. That's our goal.
Got a question for you, Vic. From a fan standpoint, I saw the piece last night on WKRG you had with Randy. I like you guys pulled out the tape measure. I like that.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this from the fan standpoint. Does that number, that 6,500, 6,600, does that include end zone? And also, how does concessions play? Will they be prepackaged or will there be no concessions?
Well, we'll do some. We need to sell from a safety standpoint. You have to sell water, soft drinks, for people that get hot. And but the food items prepackaged, but it's going to be very limited. It's really more of an additional selling points throughout the concourse, so you eliminate standing in line. But we've been working closely with the Mobile County Public Schools on this, and basically, I think what you'll see at LAD, you'll see at other public school facilities in Mobile. You're not going to be able to buy a ticket when you come to the game. You're going to have to buy your tickets in advance.
Okay.
The parking lot, there is no charge for parking at, that we used to charge for parking when people would come.
Right.
Now you're going to have to get your parking access through the schools as well. So there's a lot of changes. And what that does is eliminates interaction and passing of money and cash and interactions between different staff members and public and that type of thing to reduce the amount of contact. Those are big changes. And I think when Mobile County Public Schools comes out with that overall plan, I think people will, it's like anything else, it's new, but you'll get used to it. And if you have the desire to go to the games, you'll figure out a way to get your tickets in advance and you'll be able to come through the stadium gates with the security, just like we put in place last year at all Mobile County facilities with the walk-through metal detectors, and then you'll be able to go up into the stands and sit in seating that is socially distant. So, a lot of changes there, but I think consistency is big. I think doing the same thing we do there at other facilities in Mobile is important. And the bottom line is we want to have a whole season.
Yeah.
And I think if you understand what's already happened with teams already in quarantine, and we hadn't even started the season yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you really have to understand you've got to be serious about this, and you've got to keep people separated if you intend to play more than a game in week one.
Well, we definitely will look forward to talking to you later on in the season. Want to thank the Michigan Group and Lab People Stadium for help sponsoring the Prep Sports Report, and look forward to seeing you on Thursday as LaFleur and Williamson kick off at Lab People Stadium, Vic.
We'll look forward to seeing you Thursday. Right, Corey? Now, you're one of the select few that will be able to go up to the press box.
I'm telling you, that's definitely a blessing. Look forward
to
that.
You're one of the select three. Guy, scoreboard operator, and a clock operator.
Can't wait. Looking forward to it.
And
getting it started. Take care, Vic.
See you Thursday, Pat.
You're listening to the Prep Sports Report right here on FM Talk 106.5.